You've heard of the Danish philosophy of hygge, haven't you? Maybe it brings to mind cable-knit sweaters or glowing candles. Well, today we ask, what does hygge sound like? You're listening to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Members of Midtown Coffee Radio Hour gathered around the table here in the SDPB studios to talk about how a time of separation inspired a homegrown radio show. We've got Tina Jackson today, Nick Jackson, Maren Engel, and Wade Gamar, just a few of the friends who bring a fictional coffee shop to life where friends assemble and everyone belongs.
Everybody here be drinking that coffee down when you hear that Midtown sound. Someone order me a Midtown Brown, find a hook and nook and stick around. It's a place to find common ground while we're smelling them coffee grounds. Shall we talk about common nouns? People, places, things profound. Did you know we all world renowned? Well, at least in our own hometown. You'll be leaving this place spellbound, so come on down, y'all, to Midtown. Midtown Coffee.
Tina, I want to start with you because was this whole wonderful thing your pandemic idea?
Yeah, this was the pandemic child. I didn't do bread. I created a strange podcast with my friends. I tried to get other people to do this, but I've always been kind of an NPR junkie. I grew up on it. And Prairie Home Companion and Garrison Keillor were in my house. And so in the pandemic, when it was live from here with Chris Seeley, who also is a favorite of mine, it went off the air, and that was when I felt like it was like in iRobot when Will Smith is rewatching the Today Show. And it's like really depressing rewatching live, kind of like live TV. And so I told Nick, because I tell him all my ideas, and usually there's a lot of them. And this one, he was like, we can do that. And I was like, no, we can't do that.
We can do what? What did you tell him you wanted to do?
So we can recreate a radio show.
Live from here.
We can recreate live from here or Prairie Home Companion.
Yeah.
And we can sing songs and write skits. And just this would be a fun performing arts project, basically, is what I thought.
Let's now send it over to Wade. I have caddy issues. Gamar. Who is out at Elmwood Golf Course. For you out-of-towners, Elmwood, along with Keene Park, is a public course treasured by all the locals who work 9-to-5 jobs and send their kids to public school. If you time it right, you can even sneak onto the East 9 and get in a few holes for free. Wade, what's happening out there?
And so, thankfully, a lot of our friends are really, really talented. Nick's been was performing with the Goodnight Theater Collective since we got back here and has all kinds of talents. And so he started to assemble the Avengers.
Avengers! Assemble.
We got people together and no one was doing anything because it was pandemic and all these super busy people who are doing all kinds of performing arts all over the city were available. And so we got together the Christmas of 2020. Mm-hmm. And we really just wanted to put out like a Christmas show for that time just because it was so depressing.
Yeah.
And so we kind of picked our favorite Christmas songs, did some skits and some just really simple rewrites and of famous like Christmas poems and put it out. Kind of rough. It was recorded at Asbury United Methodist Church. Nick's brother ran the sound. We weren't totally sure
masked.
If we actually we
had
could
to
be masked. Yeah. We spread
far
out.
Apart.
We were safe distance. That was like the beauty of it. It's like we can still do this because we won't be close to each other. But it was we pulled something off and we put it out there and it was just I don't know. It was really exciting and really fun to actually come together and do it.
Nick, when you heard the idea, what made you want to say, yeah, we can do that? When everything is shut down, nobody can get together, shows are getting canceled. Mm-hmm. Why not us?
Yeah. I mean, for one, I really liked the idea because it's right up my alley in terms of performing. I don't like memorizing lines. And so this, we have our words right in front of us. I appreciated that.
Freedom out here in South Dakota. But it also is this. It looks like we're heading back to Keene Park for an update. Nick?
Yes, after Bill Vandershank found his ball out of bounds next to the trumpet section, he simply threw it back onto the fairway. However, I haven't been able to find him since then. Oh wait, I think I see him. Yes, he is behind some bushes there in the rough, and yes, he is in fact relieving himself.
We're around a lot of wonderful creative people, and so an opportunity to bring people together was really appealing. And to do it in a way, at that moment, safely, but to do it in a way that also, I don't know, I love that my wife really loved those shows. And it was neat to be able to do that almost as if it was like a Christmas gift that year of like, we're going to make this happen and make it happen for you, but also make it happen for us. It was really special. And we all, everyone in here is, we're all creatives that really would like to be creating. And so in a time when we couldn't create, this was something we could do. And that felt really special. And it also felt necessary. It was something that was lacking in our lives. I know lacking in my life at that moment. So we jumped on an opportunity to do it.
Maren gave the awe face. I love that my wife loved radio. And therefore, I'm going to make this.
I thought you did this for me in a way.
Yeah. Well, we can cut what I said before. I chose to do this because of Maren and Wade.
Yeah. Maren, when did you get the call? Yeah. When did you get the call to the invite? How did it come to you? Did you understand what you were doing before you signed up?
I mean, no, never.
We still don't understand.
No, we still don't understand. Yeah. You know, it was like a twofold thing. And these are some of my dearest friends. And so, you know, to kind of reiterate what Nick said, I'm a, you know, performing artist in town. And the pandemic was a challenge because I lost part of my identity because I wasn't doing what I loved. And so it was like I was starved for creative opportunities. And, you know, Nick and Tina are also the kind of people that they go 100% in everything that they're doing. They're both so creative. It was one of those projects that I was like, if they're involved, this is going to be really special. And so, yeah, it was a no-brainer. And it was an opportunity to, like, get together and do something that felt like for us, but also, you know, when people are stuck at home, can we give them something that makes them feel like they're still, you know, a part of this kind of Sioux Falls, South Dakota culture in a creative way. So
and radio. Through the power of radio, of the concept of radio.
Yes.
You're not broadcasting on a radio station, but you're making a radio show.
Yeah, and it's a radio show that's like, you know, set in a fictional coffee house. I loved the kind of creative energy of it. It felt like we could almost take it anywhere. And so it's been fun to see how it's evolved.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wade, what year did you come work for Friends of SDPB? Because now you and I are coworkers, but not then, not in...
Right.
2020. Yeah.
Yeah. I just started. Yeah. It's been about a year and a half. So it was kind of mid 2024 when I.
But you already loved radio.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, we grow up with these with these shows. And then when your friends say, hey, we have this idea to create something like that, we don't really know what it's going to be. But we have the people that can maybe pull something like it off. And I was super bored, and I just love these people. So I was like, "Yeah, I'm bored. I would like to see you more, and I would like to keep singing and being creative in some way." And this is a phenomenal way to do it. And I think it started as something that we wanted to do for us, I think, and our families, you know. And then of course, as it's grown from there, we have discovered that it has become such a part of other people's lives too, and just creating that experience. So from the get-go, it was just something I knew I wanted to be involved with or involved in. And luckily another thing about Nick and Tina is they have surrounded themselves with people that are talented in so many different ways. Not just us, but so many others. And they know, like, if there's an idea that they have, they probably know somebody who can help them open that door. And that, you know, I think is just another cool thing about this group is that we are also friends and just have, you know, that trust from our friendship goes into the, you know, creative process.
Yeah. I love what you said, Nick, about it felt necessary.
Yeah.
Too. I mean, it's not only a fun idea, a good idea, but there's something about it that feels essential.
Mm-hmm. And I, listening to everyone talk, I feel like everyone has mentioned we did this for ourselves at the start. And we're going to do episode 30, right? So yeah. We've come a long ways since our first episode. But in a way, I still feel like we're doing it for ourselves. Yeah. And maybe that like necessary piece, it still fulfills a huge part of who we are. And when we choose the songs that we're going to sing and when we write the skits that we're going to perform, we know it's a good skit if we like it, if we laugh at it, right?
Make
we know,
each other laugh.
Right.
Yeah.
We choose the songs with our audience in mind, but ultimately we choose songs that we really like, that bring life to us. And I think that's an important part of our creative act, is that we're doing things that we really enjoy, that we think are entertaining. And because of that, I think that authenticity comes through with our audience too, where they can see that, you know, the eight of us on stage really enjoy this. And so they're going to enjoy it too, you know?
Yeah.
It's so that piece of creating for ourselves, I think, still rings true.
Talk about the writing process and how you shape a show.
I'm kind of shocked every time a show actually comes together in the end, because it's it's all these pieces coming together. Mm-hmm. So in my other job, I do scientific writing, which is painful and detailed. And this kind of writing, I just get to like unleash, and I just make loose connections between song titles and themes that we're thinking about. But it's really fun because the process starts really when we're like picking songs. We say the theme is going to be something about the last one was Homeward Bound. So we're like, sure. Adventure or the word home or Homeward Bound literally. And so we just start like ideating around that. And then the songs bring up ideas. And then we put the songs in an order in the script, and it's usually based on, like, I like to think of, like, when I used to be make mixtapes as a kid. Like,
sure.
You want to make the mix, right? You have to, like, have highs and lows, and you don't too much. So we kind of balance the songs that way. Then we want to balance it based on who's leading. So there's all these, like, practical pieces that set the order of the songs. And then once those are set, I start to just kind of, like, look at each song and what it means, and then figure out what's that connection to lead into it, or what do we want to say about the song, or I just make a pun about it, and that's that's it. And then the beginning and the end of the show, we have like a longer intro, and then the end of the show we call the benediction, and it's really just kind of like really saying exactly what I'm thinking about, we're thinking about with the show, like what's one deeper thread through the show that we want to really hit home, and we want to keep everything tight also, like hour 15 show. Part of the challenge and the fun of it is to keep it really tight and moving, because in the room that feels good, but at the end that little piece slows down. We usually get pretty real in that part, and that came later. Like, we did not start that way. It took a while for me to feel like I could be honest enough in that part, because it felt pretty raw. Oh, it's just like so vulnerable.
Okay. Give me an example of somebody's favorite benediction, a benediction moment that stands out to you as a performer where you're like, yeah, I'm going to remember that.
I don't know if I remember exactly like what the benediction kind of turned out to be, but one of my favorite episodes we've ever done was about, I believe, your grandmother.
Grandma Olga Special.
Grandma Olga. And, you know, of course, she had all of these wonderful stories about her grandmother, but it was about so much more than that, and it was about the people in your life that have big impact and handing down traditions. And I remember after that show thinking, this is something that a lot of people can relate to, or there are people in our life we take for granted, or people who have passed on that we don't think about as much as we should. And that was a really special episode. And it's always fun to see how it comes together.
This impermanence of life, be it Grandma Olga's 95 years or the tulip's 16 days, does not make it any less special. It invites us to live in the bittersweet present. So, how then shall we live? Well, I'm a simple man, but I can't think of anything
For me, it's like our overarching, again, like nothing, no, that one for sure was a highlight. The one about getting home in a snowstorm, of course, you know, just like that's something that is so relatable to so many. And like, you know, it just makes all of us think about that, the power behind the word home and why we want to get there. And for all of its flaws, you know, like what it still represents and means to us. So that's one that sticks out to me.
But Halloween, there was a great episode where one of our former cast members, Dave Holly, famous Dave Holly, the whole episode it was our Halloween episode, and the whole episode was him trapped at Midtown Coffee, like he had to work the shift, yeah. And all the characters that came in, but then at the and like kind of his fears, and then at the end it was like, your friends help you like wrestle with your fears, and it was such a good creative way to kind of hit that point home.
Yeah.
Well, I think they all kind of, like that overarching theme, and Nick all, and both, I mean, Nick and Tina, I'd love for you to, talk about how this all started too. Like our overarching theme, they all kind of plug into that. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. Nick.
Yeah. The theme, you know, really of our show is hygge. It's the Danish word hygge, which means.
H-Y-G-G-E.
H-Y-G-G-E.
You've seen it in print. Now you know.
Yes. Now you know it's hygge. Yeah.
Plus, shout out to Wade for like that little hosting moment. Like, we're co-hosting.
This is Hygge. Lori's show.
Theme. Yeah.
Back
no,
off,
no.
Wade.
There's a well.
She gave you the small chair for a reason.
No. I love that. I love that moment. Talk about the big, talk about hygge.
Yeah, hygge is, it's the Danish word that means comfort and coziness and home and warmth and a lot of things kind of rolled up into one. And a much deeper meaning than those things, too. And hygge means different things to different people, but it's connection and family and safety and belonging. And that's what we strive for with every one of our shows. We want people to come and have an hour and 15 minutes where they feel that sense of hygge, and it's a really palpable thing for everyone in that space. And then for people that listen to it, you know, later on with our radio style show, when they listen on Spotify, to feel that sense of hygge when they're listening, whether they're driving or sitting at home before bed or wherever they're listening to it, we want them to feel connected and safe and cozy and warm. So that's kind of an underlying theme to every one of our shows. Mm-hmm. Whether it's a Halloween theme show or a Christmas show or an April Fool's show or whatever, mm-hmm. How can we find that sense of connection and home and coziness and warmth?
How do we create that for ourselves, and how do we create that for other people?
Exactly, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So then the vulnerability then, Tina, because if there is an absence of belonging, if there's an absence of home in your heart or physically, that creates a strong sense of vulnerability.
Yeah. And I think there's so many little pieces of how the show comes together that are very hygge. Like everyone has to participate. Everybody has to bring their talent. And that's part of hygge is like, it's not just one person showboating. Everybody has something to provide. And so also with the with the themes, I would say my favorite benedictions are ones that are true stories. So like Grandma Olga was so fun to write because I got to go back into the Rock County archives and look. My mom grew up in Laverne, and so it was really fun to learn that. And then we've told a story about this when we lost our dog Tito and he came back, and it was just dramatic. And then I remember telling a benediction story about Amy Morrison, who is Matt Morrison is the bass player in our band, but his wife Amy passed away a few years ago, and she was just a force in this community. And getting to talk about how much she loved community theater and just like a funny little story, but to bring her back for a minute, it just, that feels good. And the other piece about hygge that is present in the show is like impermanence. And the show is an hour and 15 minutes. It's once every couple months. That's it. And it lives online, but it's also like that moment is all you have. And so really in the moment. You have to be in the moment.
You have to be in the moment.
God,
you didn't mean to
do that.
We're twins. Yeah. How do you create a sense of play? Because there's an audience during the performance, during what you're going to record, but you are creating a third space, the coffee shop, this place that you create in that moment. Mm-hmm. That's essential to it, is a sense of place.
And part of the reason, like the sense of place, it's wild because it is an imaginary place and we move around, but it's still when we get together, when people come, when the Nick's like original theme song, when we start that, it immediately clicks into, we're there.
One, two.
And I just think that with the way it's grown, it's always kept a structure, and then within that we can play. And the reason why it works is we only do three rehearsals, but because they're so talented on stage and they have chemistry and trust and know each other, that's the only way that it works, I feel like, is having that, built that trust.
Maren, talk about trust a little bit in performing arts, being with people on the stage that you trust.
Yeah, it's essential. And I feel really lucky. I'm going to talk up my pal Wade. But Wade and I have been performing together for a really long time, but like prior to Midtown. And I'm a singer, and I think singing even more so than other art forms is so trust-based. It's like part of your body. It's like your instrument. And you know, if I have an off day, it comes through in my singing. And I think that's something really unique about it. And Wade is just someone I've always had fun performing with and singing with. We've been colleagues. We've been performers on stage together. We've developed a really good sense of trust. I feel like we can kind of read each other's minds when we're working on a piece. And I think we've kind of established that with the rest of the band as well. You know, there's this whole other story about how we looked for a drummer for like ever, and our big hang up was we could not find a drummer, which is, it turns out, pretty important. Yeah. And you know, we've kind of found Tyson, and Tyson has been truly like the heartbeat of our organization. Like we, all of that stress kind of disappeared when we found the right person to do the job. And it feels like we all really click and trust each other, and that makes it fun.
Wade, how important is the audience and therefore the community around Midtown?
I mean, they are a part of every show. Certainly we do it for ourselves, like any performer. You want that, you know, you want to be creative, you want that experience, but you also do it for the audience. And I think, you know, they are a part of our shows in their reactions, their laughter, their clapping, their gasps. Hopefully, we love a good gasp.
No.
but like they, and then they again. I think we all, even though we're talking oftentimes about a family member of ours or a former dog of ours, whatever, you know, things that have happened in our lives, these are things that have happened in a lot of people's lives. When you feel that, or when, you know, that takes you back to a memory of yours, and then that inherently builds, you feel like you're a part of a community.
Yeah.
You know, even when you're listening at home, you're not physically in that space. Ideally, you feel a little transported to that place and to that space where you do feel physically with us when you hear that. So
the personal becomes universal. Mm-hmm. The universal becomes deeply, deeply personal.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
And I would add on to that too. I think my favorite parts of our shows, as much as I love performing with you all, it's like the 15, 20 minutes leading up to the show where our audience is seeing each other again. Like it's, talk about like Huga. We're not great at social media. We're not great at promoting things. Like This has grown and spread very much through our Midtown Mug Club members, our Midtowners who have come to know the show and have just spread it very organically. And it feels like every show within the audience is like a little family reunion. And they're laughing and gathering and getting a drink together and catching up. And that kind of carries over. It bleeds into our show then, where we all feel a part of this. And then as soon as it's done, there's that same feeling of, oh, where everyone's talking again and getting together. And I think that's really, really special.
Mm-hmm. I think one of my favorite parts of our show is the guests that we have on, and I think like that's evolved. I think, you know, I won't speak for you two, but it feels like I kind of initially we were like, let's bring on a guest that like is a performer, has some talent to share. And our guests have really evolved into, I think, I don't know if we officially call it this, but we've kind of dubbed it like
a cup of Joe. The average Joe.
Yeah, we've really leaned towards bringing on guests that are doing a small thing in the community or have a really niche interest. Or, you know, I love that our audience sees that the people we bring on the shows are maybe people they know or their neighbors, or they learn a lesson from somebody they've never met before. And that to me feels very welcoming. And certainly we have a very talented guest coming on our next show. So we still lean into that. But some of my favorite shows have been the ones where we've brought on like Nick and Tina's neighbor to talk about his wife, you know, moving into a nursing home and what that has meant for him. Yeah. And, you know,
I think that's where it started. We had our first live show post pandemic in our backyard. That was our first attempt at doing this live. I think it was show number 6, something like that. And it was, our guest was neighbor Wes, who just was right across the fence from us in our backyard, and guy in his mid-80s talking about, you know, his wife and what life is, and bringing it back to in the moment. I remember he said, like, life is but a moment.
Yeah.
Life is but, and everyone in our backyard is just like weeping and like, oh, neighbor Wes. Yeah. Like, what a great
guest.
He's been guest.
A repeat.
He was a repeat guest. He did so well.
Yeah.
Bring back neighbor Wes. That's what do you have coming up? What's the something big on the horizon here?
Yes, so we've made it 5 years, which is a long time to side gig something. But it's great. So we always said we wanted to do an Orpheum show. It's just beautiful. We always wanted to try it. So we are doing an Orpheum show on January 23rd. It's also a Friday night. We usually do Thursday, so we feel very grown up. And we...
Midtown grows up.
It's not Midtown grows anymore. Up. It's not a school. That's a good tagline.
And this is how it happens,
this
right?
Is this is how the rest
this is the magic.
The
okay.
Usually we ignore Wade's ideas. But since but this one's on the radio, we'll have to keep this one.
And I really wanted to... Early on, we tried having music guests come on, and it was always really fun. But then mostly for logistical reasons, we were like, that's too hard. We just need to be set up for ourselves. But this time, we're going to bring back and have a really fun musical guest, Elsa Ray. Mm-hmm. She's a singer-songwriter. I think she's been on In the Moment. Mm-hmm. She's got such an amazing voice, and we are really excited to really collaborate with her on her music and our music. And just like it's... I just want to include more artists in the Sioux Falls community and bring them into the fold. I think it'll be really fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wade, how do you want to wrap up? As our co-host, what do you think?
Well, one of the new segments that we do is short stories with Wade, because one thing about me, I'm very short in stature.
I guess.
That's what we're looking for. Short stories with Wade. I'm very short in stature.
Authentic guess.
Yes, but my stories are not short. I include a lot of unnecessary details.
Here we go.
So I don't know if I'm the best person to wrap things up succinctly.
He's had so many roommates, friends from college, etc. So many people never knew the address. They just knew to stop when they saw the pink porch. And unfortunately, I'm sorry to tell you all that the pink porch is gone. Some guy named Josh was his name. He was the head on the team. And I can't remember the other guy's name, but his middle name was Wade. I specifically remember that. He really liked Bandit. Bandit liked the guy whose middle name was Wade.
All right, that's all the time we have. Short stories with Wade.
Come on, just wrap it up.
We will put all our information up and link to your site so people know where to get tickets and join in the celebration. Thank you. I hope you come back again and again.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, let
anytime.
Us know.
The invitation is open.
We've been talking about being on In the moment for a long time. We've like, we'll make it.
This is a big day.
We're just getting started. The new version is just getting started.
She didn't even press record.
This is also for Tina's birthday.
This is for my birthday.
Yeah. Birthday, the power cord isn't plugged in.
As we leave this friendly place, long give light to every face. May the kindness which we
thanks for joining us this evening. My name's Dave Holly, and I am proud to be alongside our house.
Midtown Radio Coffee Hour plays the Orpheum Theater in downtown Sioux Falls. The concert is January 23rd at 7:30 p.m. Tickets are available now at SiouxFallsOrpheum.com. If you can't travel to the live recording, check them out on your favorite podcast platform. And that is our conversation for today. We hope that it served you from all of us here at our own little radio show. I'm Lori Walsh. Thank you for listening.
As we